Blessed dear brothers and sisters, I would like to take this opportunity to welcome those of you who are here for the first time. If you could just stand to your feet while we sing the choruses unto the Lord. Start off by singing, Lord, I'm coming now to thee.
Lord, I'm coming now.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It is indeed a privilege to be able to bring our needs to the Lord in prayer. But there are many a times when you just listen to a lie from the devil, says, you know, it's just a little thing going to serve the Lord. Something that we listen to that is not right. The Lord has left us to bring everything unto you in prayer. So just do not let the devil forfeit one of our greatest privileges to go to our Lord in prayer.
Amen.
And in everything.
Amen.
This is Psalm 199. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege.
The Lord our God is indeed good.
Amen.
has never been still living in through the seven church ages, we find that as the church ages move on, more and more is revealed. And right now, even as we sit here tonight to listen to dear brother Vindayal, more truth and more manner is coming forth. We just need to just keep in line with this, partake of it, take this manner, and just move on and march on for the glory of our Lord. Turn with me to Psalm number 57. A hymn of us Christians moving on with our Lord.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is standing out to bring His present peace around His Lord. He has used the faithful lightning of His parables before. His truth is marching on. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Father. How thankful we are, dear God, for such a divine promise you have given unto us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us.
Yes, Lord.
But lo, I am with you always,
even
to the end of the age.
Thank
Where
you,
two or three gather together in my name, yea, I am in the midst.
Amen.
What an assurance that gives unto us tonight, Father.
Amen. Thank you.
Lord, as we come in your presence, as we come before your presence with singing, Lord. Lord, giving glory and giving praise
yes.
unto your name.
Thank
For we know that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Oh God, we thank you that you have opened up those seven seals.
Yes.
You have shown
yes.
us, Lord, that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation
yes.
of the world
yes.
and predestinated unto the adoption yes. of children.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Father, that this hour we see a great Holy Spirit in our midst. Bring to pass all that you've spoken to us.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, all that you've revealed in this hour to your prophet, all that you've promised you will do to bring us unto that full redemption, we see it come to pass.
Oh,
and we pray, dear God, tonight
Thank
that your Holy
you,
Spirit will come to unfold your word unto
yes,
us.
Lord,
Lord will come to inspire and bring us to a greater faith.
Yes.
And until, Lord, we can look into your word and see so clearly, as the scripture says, knowing as we were known. For he says, in that day we will know as you as in the Father, and the Father in you.
Amen.
So you in us and we in you.
Amen.
Oh God, let it be in each and every heart tonight, I pray.
Yes, Lord.
I pray you bless in such a way. I pray the Holy Spirit, Lord, will take the word and make it so personalized this evening.
Amen.
So real, so inspiring
yes,
to every heart this evening, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Each and every one of us could understand our place in Christ.
Yes.
Could understand the great working of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, in the little church here, these that we have come to, Lord, Lord God, by the leadership of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to them in such a way that, Lord, would give them understanding of your will and your purpose in their lives this hour. Bring them into such a harmony with you, Father, that you can do all of your promises offer them. In Jesus' precious name, we pray and we ask these things.
Amen.
Your honor and your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of St. Mark. Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 4. Just a common expectation in your heart this evening. And
Amen.
You're anticipating a wonderful time in
Amen.
His presence.
Amen.
You know, I just feel good in my heart. I just
Amen.
Feel he's going to meet what is the need we have this evening.
Amen.
For our brother says, take it to the Lord and pray.
Amen.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear,
right.
all because we do not tally everything to God in prayer.
Amen.
Amen. But around we should be not be like a little fish in the Pacific Ocean. You know, we flew from Los Angeles to here, and thousands of miles, hours of flying over all the water in the Pacific Ocean. And he said, just think, he said, if you're a little fish inside of the air, trying to drink sparingly, thinking that, you know, you're going to consume all that water, it's going to be wasted away, so you don't want to drink too much of it. He said, what a fool that fish would be.
Right.
You can never exhaust the abundance and the supply of that water.
That's right.
He says, and so we can never exhaust the abundance of God's blessing tonight.
Amen. Amen.
You ask that your joys may be full. Amen.
Yes.
Whatsoever you have need of, believe. Amen. When you stand praying, believe that you have received what you ask for, and you shall have it.
Amen.
Amen. St. Mark, you know, in chapter 4, verse chapter 3, Jesus had a great healing time there, and he had healed the sick, and done many great miracles. And then St. Mark chapter 4, he began to teach all these great mysteries, explain all the parables. Parable of the sower and the seed, parable of the lamp, the parable of spiritual growth, about the corn of wheat, how it springs up and comes back into the seed. Then he speaks to the parable of the mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
So after the great healing revival and then the teaching of all them great mysteries, then we want to read this little portion here from verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. There's other little fellowships. Amen. And there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, hearest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, what is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gerasenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb the man of unclean spirit, who was dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. For he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, and in the tombs crying, cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there near unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. Devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to implore him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them what great things the Lord had done for thee, and had compassion on thee. And he published, and departed, and began to publish in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at a point of death. I pray thee come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and many people followed him, and crowded him. Now I want you to notice in verse 35, in Mark 4, verse 35, it was in the evening time, and the disciples, he said unto the disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And then in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, he had come over unto the other side of the sea into the country of Gerasenes. And then verse 21, and then when Jesus passed over again by boat unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. So he had made a complete wrong trip. He was then Capernaum, and then he crossed all the way over to the country of Gerasenes, and then he had come right back over to the same place where he was in the beginning. Let us pray one more time. Oh, gracious Father, I pray, dear God, that these things, these divine truths that are hid and sealed in this word, that have been brought out and preached to us by the prophet, and Lord, let in the message a store of food that we should feed upon in this hour of famine. I pray tonight is really endeavor to look into this portion of it, your Holy Spirit will crystallize these things to us, Lord. And will cause great understanding to come to our hearts. To help us to understand the hour in which we live in, what you are doing. Father, we might have a true revelation of your program for this day. And Lord, might be able to be brought under the divine leadership of your Holy Spirit to see fulfill what you've spoken this hour. Grant, Lord, we pray we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a seat. Amen. I want to take from the title tonight, Let's Wake Up Jesus. Let's Wake Up Jesus. I want to speak this to you here, you know, who have been sitting here in the meetings these past few days, have been just trying to stay in prayer and see how the Holy Spirit will direct us, that our coming unto you will not be in vain, but it will be profitable to you in this time, and it would serve not just to have some meetings or entertain a visitor passing through, but it would serve to help build up the church into the faith where we ought to be in this hour.
Amen.
Because we live in a tremendous time and a lot is happening, and unless the Holy Spirit really inspired the word to us, we wouldn't really know what is taking place. And because Brother Ram says, when Jesus was there in his day, many a man saw him in the street. Many a man could have said, that is Jesus, the one on the right side, right next to the tall one, the beard, that slim one is Jesus. See, many a man could have seen him. He said, so, but few people saw him in the fulfillment of the word. Many saw him in the street, many saw him moving around, but few saw him in the fulfillment of the word.
Right.
And on the message shows we'll see Jesus. He said that is the desire of every heart, to see Jesus. And that's what we all desire tonight, is to see him.
Right.
And here we go, we've been hearing so much about Jesus. Many of us have been preached to death almost. Among you, we're going to maybe think about sermons we have heard. How many preachers we have listened to? We have heard a lot of preaching over the years. But the cry of the heart of the real believer is so that we will see Jesus. He says, but he said, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. And how the world going to see, not see him, but we're going to see him. Then the prophet man says, we're going to see him in the fulfillment of his promised word. He said, we're not looking for nail scars and oil and blood in the platform and all these things. But we're going to know what is promised in this hour, because there's a word allotted for every age. And there's an anointing that comes down to manifest that particular portion of word that is designated for that special time. And there's a portion for this time. Amen. There's a portion for Paul age. Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, each had a portion. But here we're going to be out of the resurrection. When the church will be changed and taken away. When God is winding up this great plan of redemption. When the bride is being pulled out to the systems of the world and being shown how to prepare for great translation faith. Because the message, it just came for preparation. The pillar of fire came for vindication, and the token, the Holy Spirit, was for consolation.
Amen.
It was for an assurance of peace.
Amen.
In the heart of the believer, that judgment is striking the earth, moving all around. But the believer has peace with God.
Amen.
Because they have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
They are in the covenant. The covenant is in effect in the life. They know the wrath of God will not come near by them.
Amen.
And in the first pull of Jesus' ministry, we know Jesus had a ministry of three pulls. And the first pull was healing. Signs. In the physical realm, demonology in the physical realm. He said cancers, cataracts, tumors, people with strokes, epileptics, paralyzed people, come out of wheelchairs. Every man could see them in the five senses. You could go in a meeting and he said, rise up, open your wheelchair, and a man would rise up. See a cancer fall on somebody, and you see them in the five senses. You didn't need a new birth to see that. Once you have the optic nerve in operation, you can look at it. Look at a man with a wooden hand, mean home. Look at a crippled man walking here. You can see through the eyes, the five senses. And the first pull contact the flesh. That way the Holy Spirit by the hand contact the flesh. And you cast out devils out of the flesh. Cancers and tumors and cataracts. That's demonology in the physical realm. But then the Holy Spirit told the prophet, if you be more sincere, you'll know the secret of the heart. So then he went now into the spirit realm to discerning of spirits. And he began now to get into the spirit realm. And he began to find people with ambition. It was just like Jesus. In the second pull, Jesus began to discern spirits. His first pull was doing great signs and wonders and became popular. Because it was the same ministry of Jesus reincarnated in this day. Amen. Come back in bright form. Amen. And in the first pull, all the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the sinners, everybody could see the miracles. And they came for burning fish. They saw him multiply the burning fish. They actually eat it. And it tastes good. Because it's cooked bread and cooked fish. Amen. And they were paid for it. They could sit down in a meeting and get a meal. So it was kind of an economical way to live. Because it was a day of a lot of economic oppression. Remember in the Bible how the disciples, John the Baptist, is preaching and telling the people, he says, be content with your wages. Because the Roman people was oppressing them, and Barabbas was fighting another kind of revolution, trying to change the system. He was using the sword. You see? He told them maybe they could get a better government, a better system. But John came preaching and tell them that there is coming one who is going to bring a new kingdom. And he's not going to bring by that kind of violence. See? And here it was, they could come along in the meeting and see the miracles. And then Jesus went to revealing spirits now. And then he's going to say, you Sadducees, you Pharisees, you like to sit in the uppermost seat in the synagogue. You like to make your long prayers. You like to be heard. You want to be seen of men. See? And he begin to discern the motives and the intent. He said, you lawyers, you don't go in. And you hinder those who try to go in. The rich young ruler come. And he look at him. He said, Master, I kept all the law and all these things. He was morally upright. A moral man. Born in church and grew up in church. And the Lord discerned his spirit. He said, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. And he couldn't do it. And then the third realm pull went from the spirit to the soul. And when I went to the soul, he said, whom do men say I am the Son of Man? Yeah. No, your body's five senses, see, taste, hear, smell, and touch. Your spirit is five senses, reason, conscience, memory, affection, and imagination. But the soul is faith or unbelief. Yeah. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. You don't believe with your body. You don't believe with your spirit. You believe with your soul.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the third pole, whom do men say the Son of Man am? Where are they going to believe? Where are they going to have revelation? Some say Jeremiah. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Moses. Some say one of the prophets. And he said to Peter, he said, whom do you see? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
It's sure that in his soul, he could catch revelation. And that's why Jesus told a parable about the sower went forth to sow his seed. Because he was sowing the seed of the promises for that age. The original seed, the spoken word. He was the sower planting a former rain. Planting the seed, the promises of that age. And he began to tell him, he said, no, it fell, but some fell by the wayside. Some fell among thorns. Some fell, you know, on the rocks. But he was only talking about the condition of people's hearts. He said, but some fell on good ground, which is prepared ground, which is when you're going to plant the seed, and you have intended plants, you plant the ground. You know, you get the ground prepared and ready. So you can plant the seed and wait for the rain to come. And when the rain comes upon the seed, the rain don't make the seed, don't put no certain kind of life in the seed.
The rain is only manifest what type of seed it is. Because the Lord is every seed being put out its kind. So Jesus, in his ministry, when he was coming out into the, he had come to the third pole, many of those people who had seen the great miracles, they couldn't understand how when he was saying, I and my Father is one. Search the scriptures. They testify who I am. I'm greater than Jonah is here. I'm greater than Solomon is here. He was bringing the teaching now. And by the teaching, he was identifying he was the promised Messiah that was promised in Genesis. Amen. And the same people could see miracles that was move and touch and say, God had to do this man because no man can perform miracles like this. Right. Couldn't take the teaching, the voice of the sign. They could take the sign, but they couldn't take the voice of the sign. Because the voice was revealing who he was from the word. Amen. Amen. Because to hear the voice, you have to have the ear to hear it. You have to have the net here to receive the word. So he found that many of them began to say, he's Beelzebub, he ain't no son of God. He ain't no Messiah. That's Joseph and Mary's son. And they couldn't see beyond the flesh veil. They couldn't see the fulfillment of the word. Though he was correctly and accurately identified in the scripture as the one that was promised by having the characteristics to prove he was the prophesied promise manifested.
Amen.
Amen. So it was a tremendous thing. But as he moved into the realm of the soul, he found not only demons in people's flesh, he found that there are demons in the soul. As Brother Brown brought the message, demonology in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. Demonology in the body of people and demons in the soul of people. A demon of doubt, a demon of lying, a demon of lust. He cast 7 devils out to Mary Magdalene. Probably there was pride and ambition and lust and all the different spirits that was inside of you. And when the prophet, from coming out from the healing ministry, begin to come in the second pole and begin to preach the message, discernment of spirit. 1960, discernment of spirit. And in that message, he begins to say, you have to discern a man's motive and his objective. See what he's trying to achieve. Is he trying to bring people to himself? Is he trying to build a name for himself? Is he trying to build a kingdom for himself? Or is he bringing people to Christ, to the word for the hour?
Amen.
Amen. And then when the Baron came to the third pole, and he saw all the Pentecostals who was casting out devils and had great healing revivals and great anointed people and holding tens of thousands of people spellbound, great miracles in the land. Yet they couldn't take serpent seed. They preferred to believe even the apple. Yet they couldn't see water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, though there was nobody in the entire Bible ever baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Right.
They couldn't accept it. And he showed, he said, there is demons of doubting in the soul of the people. And then he brought souls that are in prison now. From the zeal of the spirit, souls that are in prison now. Bringing it out to the third pole to show where God is working at now. And then when the word opened up, then the revealed word begin to reveal the names of the bride who is in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what the seven seals was open for. Because in this day, all the names that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will worship the beast.
Amen.
And all the names that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be deceived, the Bible says.
Amen.
So then a person has to find out where the name in the book. A person wants to find out where they are, because the book has been opened and the names have been revealed. And that's why D1 is being taken, the other remains. D1 is being taken, the other remains. Where are where the cockroaches? They will even be gathered together. Not vulture, the eagles, the elected bride, who will not be deceived. It was possible she be deceived. But the seven skills have been opened up to reveal to her who she is. She's part of the world. She's part of the bride who should not be deceived. Then she has a channel of inspiration. Then she's recognizing herself in the scriptures. Like Jesus recognized himself. Because she's part of the bridegroom and the bridegroom is the word. So if the bride is part of the bridegroom and the bridegroom is the word, she's part of the word.
Jeremiah, I've greater than Sarah, I've greater than Esther, I've greater than Ruth, I've greater than Rahab, I've greater than Mary, I've greater than Sarah. All of them are the type of the bride, all of the women in the Bible. And now that great mystery has been unfolded, that she could take such the scriptures and testify who I am. Amen. And here it is now, the third pull, when the truth began to come forth. Many people couldn't take the truth. They was anointed with the Holy Ghost in the spirit, could cast out devils in people's flesh, but they were demon possessed in their own soul. You know something?
Sure.
They are anointed with the Holy Ghost, but they have devils in the soul, and they cast out devils in the people's flesh. But how are you going to find out? When the truth begins to come, they couldn't take the word. Amen. Like Balaam, rise up here. And then we talk about the way of Balaam, the era of Balaam, and the doctrine of Balaam. Three things. And the way of Balaam, he tried to make a marketplace gift. Went after popularity, wouldn't take the will of God. See, after the will of God was revealed to him, he went there and tried to curse what God blessed. Amen. Then the era of Balaam, see, he went forth there and he began to look at it, at Israel, you know, and backpack and curse them and failed to see the pillar of fire in the camp, failed to see his middle up, failed to see all these things. Amen. See, and then the doctrine of Balaam, he taught them the eating sacrifice of the idols. Amen. Today is not natural idols. Amen. Men are idols today. Women are idols today. Hollywood is full of idols. This is an age of idolatry. Everybody have a little idol. See? They love this certain type of musician. He become the idol. They love this type of film star. He become the idol. They have the big pin-up to the idol in the rooms in these things. In the age of idolatry. And you see then that how those things happen. And now, here is Jesus. He had come to the great healing time. Great healing in Mark 3. And then Mark 4, he was no longer doing much healing, but he was teaching now. He was revealing all his mysteries of the parables and these things. And this message calling Jesus in the scene in 3, 4, page 6. Brother Bram speaking here, he says, he must have been a little tired that day. Talking about Jesus here in our text. Our scene finds our Lord, as we try to take his time, accepting of where he's at and what he's doing. That's what we're trying to bring to you here. He says, where he's at and what he's doing. And as we try to take the scene, we find him here, where he's at and what he's doing. And trouble comes up, and how he takes care of the trouble and tells them why he couldn't do it. They were coming along in the boat with him, and trouble came up, and they couldn't handle the trouble. And then Jesus rose and taken the trouble to them. And something struck the prophet in that he brought this message. And he says, can you imagine Jesus? We see him here tired and weary. I would just imagine he knowing there's a big job next day ahead of him over in Gadara. Where there was one soul that was calling out for God. Can you imagine Jesus, tired and weary, crossing a stormy sea just to get to one soul? But he doesn't. That's the way he does it. I don't believe we fly out of 1,000 miles with the Pacific just to come here for a vacation. No. The ship was crossing and he took his opportunity to take a little rest. To wake up, and the disciples had gone back to their oars and their daily task, what they had done, the revival of that day was over. Something like I believe is the same thing today. And during this time, he had taken a little rest, maybe just between the meetings, and the disciples went back to their old task. And they might have been discussing his messiahship. Here's the prophet now. He's bringing something to the church in this hour. And he was placing the church positionally, where they were in the economy of God, so they will have an understanding of what God is doing presently. Because he knows serving God is not keeping a tradition or looking back in history, but serving God is knowing what God is doing now and being in that.
Amen.
So he's bringing them, he had the same ministry as Jesus, and he had finished his healing revival. And he had just opened the seven seals in Mark 63. So here in November 63, after the seals have been opened, all the great mysteries have been taught. Everything was cooling off now. And many people wasn't understanding what was happening. They said, oh, Brother Branham, where's the great meetings? We don't have no more great meetings no more. You know, we have them great meetings in Durban, South Africa, some trouble over the chest, great meetings all parts of the state, thousands upon thousands being healed, so much people being saved, wherever you go, all kind of miracles. How come? Everything is just kind of dying out now. And they're all confused. But the prophet, knowing the program of God, knowing that there was to come a quiet in time, that Jesus was going to take a little rest, beating revivals. One revival is finished, and another one is going to come later on. But between that time, it will be a quiet time. So some people now, what they do when they realize it was going to quiet in time, they didn't understand the program of God. So they try to keep the first revival going. Trying to keep pumping up miracles. Trying to keep getting, you know, people flesh healed. And God already, the prophet knew the first pull was finished. He knew he was in the second pull, he knew that was finished. He knew he was in the third pull. He knew God now was sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat.
Yeah.
He knew God was down there looking for that seed who could believe the word.
Yeah.
He was calling the sheep by the name, preaching the mystery, because the soul that comes predestined from God.
Amen.
If the soul was the elected seed,
Amen.
In this hour, those elected genes of God, who is God taught to express. Is that he came for.
Amen.
And the healing was going to attract the people's attention to get them ready for the message.
Amen.
And the voice, the message of the hour, was going to reveal to them who he was and who they were.
Amen.
Amen. So he says here, they might have been discussing now who he was. You know, they claimed to be the word, he claimed to be the message of the hour. And the prophet who had been the word before they introduced him and said, my time is through this John. I have fulfilled my part, the word that I am supposed to fulfill. Now he's going to manifest the rest of the world. From here out, so my time is over. John, so he had to get on the scene when Jesus came on the scene. And when he came on the scene, he comes just exactly and doing just exactly and acting just exactly the way the Messiah was supposed to act, what he was supposed to do. So here's the picture now. He's saying now, them disciples that seen John come, great prophet Elijah at the end of the Old Testament. And that Elijah the prophet, John identified him in the scriptures that he was the Elijah. And John Hallock was waiting for a message, and the message was going to be the word for the hour. It was going to be all the word, not part of the word. Moses was part of the word. Jeremiah was part of the word. Abraham was part of the word. Joseph was part of the word. But Jesus was the entire word. And that entire word was going to come to the prophet to reveal the word in its fullness. And the fullness of the word was the Son of Man.
Amen.
And Elijah was to reveal the Son of Man at the end of the Old Testament.
Amen.
And the Son of Man, Jesus, the word, came to the prophet Elijah, John.
Amen.
And only John was going to receive the word. The word wasn't going to come to the Pharisees. The word wasn't going to come to the Sadducees. The word wasn't going to come to a priest, Caiaphas, one of them. The word is going to come to the prophet.
Amen.
And the prophet was Elijah, John. And as John found the first coming, so this Elijah found the second coming.
Amen.
It'll be the same way.
Amen.
This prophet will introduce the entire word.
Amen.
Amen. And then, when John revealed the Son of Man, then the believers begin to follow the revealed word of the prophet.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And now they had seen the word open up all the mysteries. And now it's a quiet time. But there was with the word of that the prophet revealed. But in a quiet time. Amen. And they were sailing along the sea, talking and testifying about his word that the prophet revealed. Which is Jesus. Amen. Now that word that the prophet revealed had done great things. He had speak to the storm. He had speak to the tree. He had done many great things. And they, you know, they saw the word raise the dead. But now the world was quiet. Now the world wasn't like doing much.
Yeah.
But there was the world was still in the midst.
Right.
and those around the world. But they were testifying about their experience of seeing the prophet and the word the prophet revealed. Because John was the prophet and Jesus was the word. And here it was now, there's the boat coming along. And Peter Kelly says, he gave them some strong doctrine. His healing days were just about over. But Mark 3 was the healing and Mark 4 was the doctrine. Just like a healing revival in the seals. He didn't care whether he was going to heal too much more. He was going on to tell them about something that was better. And he began to tell them that he dare reveal to them who you actually was. What will you say to the Son of Man, the sender of these things? See? That was what he was doing. He was revealing himself who he was. He was letting them know it was God in the midst. It was the Messiah. Like we took the message last night. He says not so much to pray for the sick no more, but you might recognize the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is present.
Amen.
Amen. So he is bringing this down, a little drama, as he's trying to bring it tonight for you. So even the little children here may get picked. And here he is. The ministry was kind of taking a low turn, but they were having a jubilee. They were justifying. I remember, I was in the Sadducee church, and it was so dry and formal. I was hungering for something, and one day, this boy Andrew, I met Andrew, and Andrew, came and was testifying to me, and Andrew was telling me, well, there's a prophet in the land and different things. And I went down by the river, and I saw John, he was preaching, and every time I heard him, I just hear the voice of the prophet.
Yeah,
see, he said, I knew there's a prophet.
Yeah.
And then, I begin to realize the prophet had a great ministry. He was to reveal the word for the age. And then when the prophet revealed the Son of Man, I never even realized that the prophet was to reveal the Son of Man. But then I began to see the prophet reveal the Son of Man with the Lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God himself. And how he had to come out from the Sadducees, had to come out from the Pharisees to be identified with the Lamb that the prophet revealed. And that was the only place now God was going to meet with the people. My, it was a great thing. They were all testifying. And Nathaniel could say, I remember that day when Philip called me, and I was a little skeptical, and I went down to the meeting there. And we went to the meeting kind of a little late, and he was already praying for the sick. And while the prayer line was going on, just looked over in the corner at me and said, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guide. And the man knew me. And then I asked, when did thou know me, Rabbi? He said, but he settled me once and for all. When he says, before Philip called me, I saw thee under the fig tree. He said, I have many, many trees in my yard. And he identified the fig tree. And that's the exact tree where I'm going to pray every day.
Amen.
So how do you know I had a fig tree? How do you know that that's where I was praying? How do you know that exactly where I was when Philip came and met me? I was under the fig tree. Did that settle for me? I know then he was a prophet. Maybe John began to give his testimony and it's all testifying. They're all talking about the prophet. They're all talking about his message. See? They were going along having a good time. Thinking that maybe we're going to go right into heaven from here on. See? No trouble going to come up. We can just sail along the sea and Jesus in the midst of having a good time and boom, the rapture, we're going to go to heaven one day. It wasn't going to be like that. Amen. And here he says, then all of a sudden trouble set in. Page 16. Oh, just as the church started to rest a little bit, and then trouble set in. The ship began to rock, the sails blew up, the water filled the boat. Seemed like all hope of survival is gone, though they had seen him do so many things when trouble strikes. And now it comes to a place where it's kind of flat. We are talking about what he has done and so forth. And looking for what he's going to do, and that's just human. Human beings are always telling what God did and what God's going to do, and forgetting what he's doing. They did the same thing. They had seen him out there, he was sick, raising them, and for new things and tell people to speak into their heart. And believe that they were on the road to another revival. Because he said the bride never had a revival yet. Yes, those 7 tons wake up the bride.
Right.
She'll have a revival when the squeeze comes, watch the third pole then.
Right.
Even that will be the thing to start the rapture in faith and the going over the church.
Right.
Great pulsations of faith always go to work in the time of crisis.
Amen.
Amen. He said, they're going to close on these churches one of these days, but then you're going to see the bright show of real colors. The world will flash like lightning.
Amen.
Amen. So, yeah, they were going along, and they know there was going to be another revival. But between the revivals was quiet.
Yeah.
He said, that's just the way we do. That's where we sit tonight, sitting in the same spot. And yet, if he only knew, he's in the ship. He's just as great as he was when he was laid in that ship. He's just as great as he was when he stood in space and created the world. Amen.
Amen.
Here he is tonight in the ship.
Amen.
He's sailing up Land Solomon. And it looks like it's quiet. Maybe just talking about him a little bit. But he's here.
Amen.
As great as he ever was.
Amen.
As great as when he told the prophet, speak to the storm. As great as when he just stand to your feet and speak that tomb out of existence. Whatever you say is going to happen that way.
Amen.
And before the doctors touch my wife, 2,000 miles away.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
My. You think that God is not still the same God? Oh, this morning I call home, waiting to train that thousands and thousands of miles away the next side of the globe. And, you know, talking to one of the brothers sitting in the church that died, and then another brother was sick very close to me, and one of the trustees in the church, he's the treasurer, and there he was very sick for 10 days. And then I asked him, I told him, bring him to the floor and let him pray for him. And right there in the prayer, that's what I've been saying here, how Brother Bram is 2,000 miles away. I plug right in there and begin to pray. And then the brother said, he said, I already begin to feel better.
Amen.
Thousands of miles away, same Jesus, as great as he ever is.
Amen.
We don't talk about a dead Jesus. We don't talk about a Jesus went somewhere with the prophet nowhere. He's alive with you always,
amen,
even till the end of the age.
Amen.
Amen. He's as great as he was in the grave of Lazarus, as great as he was when he healed the leper, gave sight to the blind. He is just as great as he was in the days of the world's revival. He's just as great as he was in any time, and he's here in the ship.
Amen.
So Brother Brown wasn't bothered. He knew it was a quieting time. And then the denominational ministers were trying to use psychology, you know, because the anointing had left. He said the same angel who was performing miracles is now revealing truth.
Amen.
He was only revealing doing miracles to get their attention.
Amen.
So he could bring the message of the hour. Because the message of the hour was what was going to really deliver them.
Amen.
Was going to turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of their fathers.
Amen.
Was going to give faith to be changed.
Amen.
In a moment in a twinkle of an eye.
Amen.
Was going to reveal to them their position in the world. What
Amen.
Day they are living in. And what is the promise of this hour.
Amen.
Amen. And here it was. He wasn't bothered. He could have laid aside the discernment. He could have laid aside the healing ministry. And just begin to bring the word. Begin to bring the word. And stop the fool till the time of famine comes, we'll have something to eat.
Amen.
Amen. Then, on this other message, they're calling Jesus in the scene in Chicago. Here, the prophet brings, says, he's in our little boat, as we are feeling like Solomon, same as he was then, so is he now. What a feeling of security while sailing the troubled waters of life. They were something like us today. Those disciples out there on that ship that night after the revival were feasting on the results. Now maybe beating the revivals, now beating the revivals. The great healing revival and the bride revival. We have had the healing revival. What did it do? It brought forth a ministry of the word afterwards.
Yes.
And the word came after you got the full attention. The word came to do what? Sow seed.
Amen.
Amen. See, the Pentecostals thought they were the Lutheran that you had to call themselves the Pentecostals. He said, well, how could they be? That could be the restoration if the prophet messenger had not come and sowed the seed, the former rain, so you could have a latter rain.
Right.
So if you could have all the rain you want and you have no seed in the field, you can't get no crop.
Right.
Amen. You have to put seed in your field.
Right.
And when the rain falls, then the rain brings up the crop.
Amen.
But if you don't plant no seed, you have nothing to get. And a lot of people are like, well, trying to get in the spirit, trying to get in the spirit, trying to put it on emotion, trying to manifest something, and they have no seed. You have to get the word planted in the child here. All seven fields have been planted in the child here. Every promise in this hour has been planted in the child here. Have to get a minister in the child here to take the word out and plant it. So the seed, all of the prophets have spoken.
Amen.
Amen. And then God is going to send a rain upon that.
Amen.
Amen. The quickening power to bring that up. Amen. And show for the real revival. And the bride revival will be the real restoration back to the early church.
Amen.
Amen. They'll bring up all what they have. Write another book of Acts.
Amen.
So here he was. He says they were in, something like us today. on that ship that night after the revival is beaten, and maybe beating revivals now, we are looking for another stir. And I'm looking for it. I've been giving it all these years in the coming message. Since I went to look over the Jesus page 6 and 7, when the prophet says, I cannot go no further in my ministry. You have to stop right here and go back into evangelism. Amen. Choose a bride for Isaac. Amen. Go and look for character. A bride will believe every word. Who will be like Eve and say, be unto me, O Lord, according to thy word. I'm looking for that kind of character. Open your field, sweat it out. Find people, not church members, not bench warmers, not halfway lukewarm Christians, but people that will believe every word. Amen. Amen. People that's hungry and thirsting after righteousness. Amen. Amen. He said, there's going to be a bride, there's going to be one. God predestined them believers to meet the challenge of this hour. There's going to be a people come forth. Amen. And she's going to manifest the fullness of that word.
Amen.
So you watch and see. So then, here is what he says. We have to wait here until that catches up. You have seen the world conqueror churches already begin to tighten up.
Yes.
And he said, they're going to come and close us down. But when the squeeze come upon his bride, you watch the temple then.
Yes.
It's already happened 5 times, he said. The creation, resurrection, healing, salvation, power over the elements. Happened 5 times.
Yes.
He said, totally vindicated, but it will not be used until the world conqueror tighten up.
Yes.
Then you watch what's going to happen. Because by that time, God will have a church in speaking conditions.
Amen.
And why are these messages and these things being poured in here? Why are we making it strong? Why are we bringing the word like this? Is that God has to get a people ready. God has to get a church in speaking conditions.
Amen.
God has to get a people in a position.
Amen.
Amen. Because the hour is at hand. Amen.
Amen.
You come to that time.
Right.
And God is separating his bride from all unbelief.
Amen.
Amen. He's lifting the church in the power of God now. Bringing the believer to know who they are. The same way he knew himself by the word.
Amen.
Amen. Rubbing all the make-believe out, taking all the churchianity out of them, putting the real Christianity inside of them.
Amen.
Amen. Give filter the thinking. Give them a thinking man filter and a holy man taste.
Amen.
He said, what's a holy man taste? To see the word for the hour manifested
Amen.
In your life.
Amen.
You want to see control in your life.
Amen.
You don't have a worldly taste. Amen. A halfway church has enough religion to keep you miserable, but you want a holy man taste. Amen. Like Bunny Robinson, Lord, you don't fill with the Holy Ghost. You'll find the bonus thing. Amen. I've got to have it. I'm willing to pay a price to get it. Like Samson, just once more, Lord. Let me die with the Philistines, but once more. Amen.
Amen.
Willing to die and pay the price to see the power of God come back.
Amen.
And look at Samson. When did the power of God come back? Long after the eyes was gone. The eyes of the prophet.
Yes.
And the eyes went. Samson lost his eyes.
Amen.
Amen. But when he had the eyes, he had great power. Amen. He could slay a lion. He could look at the gates of Gaza.
Yes.
He could kill a thousand Philistines.
Yes.
Do great works. Amen. And then long after the eyes was gone, the church looked defeated. In kind of darkness, can't move around too much. Amen. They was in prison.
Yes.
Saved. Becoming prisoners. But all the while, a new crop was growing out.
Amen.
Beyond the eyes, it was growing to the head.
Amen.
Hallelujah! A new crop! And when that,
Amen.
He said, though the new crop growed out, yet he still didn't have the power yet. The little part of the new crop, you are part of the new crop.
Amen.
That coming after the eyes is gone.
Amen.
Grow to the head after the eyes is gone.
Amen.
But the Spirit of God is going to come back upon him.
Amen.
What for? For greater works in the judgment hour. He killed more at the end. Amen!
Amen.
He killed more at the end than when the eyes was here. Oh,
Amen.
My, you talk, you see, it's all over the world.
Yes.
Amen. There is going to be another rise.
Yes.
He said, ride his trail once more. There's going to be another revival another time.
Yes.
And here there was, he said, maybe big revivals now. We are looking for another stir where there's got to be something happen. Now that we've gathered the church together, there will have to be some kind of press. God always does it that way to run his people together. I believe that it's already been formed. That will shut up everything that won't agree with them. And then it's going to run the church together. And we are waiting for that to happen.
Yeah.
And we are living on the results of the great revival that we have just passed. And he's resting.
Yeah.
He's ready to see now. We are waiting for the next revival. We are feasting on the results.
Yeah.
And he's resting.
Yeah.
Amen. He was resting like he did then. When he completed his work in Genesis, the Bible said on the 7th day, he rested from all his works. And now Jesus had completed that day, and he was resting from the works that he had did that day. Resting for the greater work. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The bride will do the greater work. Resting for the greater work. To begin tomorrow. See? Take a little rest. And that's what I think he is doing now. Here is the prophet identifying us, telling us, don't be confused with the bride. Don't get caught in all this man's influence, trying to pump up, you know, some miracles in the flesh and because you don't understand the program of God. You don't realize you've come to the third pole. Amen. The great thing is happening now, but you have to see the spiritual eyes because we come beyond the humanistic realm. Amen. It come by the realm of revelation. You have to see him in the fulfillment of his word now. The world has seen him in the first and second pole. Amen. But the world has not seen him now. From the time the pillar of fire was over his head in the first and second pole, all the world could see him. But then the pillar of fire went behind human skin in the third pole. And God was veiled.
Amen.
He said, God is veiled? Well, then how can he preach unveiling of God if God wasn't veiled?
Amen.
How can he preach a mighty God unveiled? He had to be veiled before he could be unveiled.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
See, he was unveiling God. He was showing what was happening. God was behind skin. Because
Amen.
Only the Lamb could break them seals.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And here's the Lamb, veiling flesh like those who did a Sodom. Not God in Jesus, God in a man, God in human flesh. As it was in the Son of God, so shall it be when the Son of Man is being revealed.
Amen.
How tremendous. So here he says, and the revival fire struck the world, but then the quieting time came. He says, but now it seems to be resting. We are wondering, each spiritual servant and looking up, Lord Jesus, I know something is going to happen. I feel the pressure coming on. I love you, Lord. And now I want to see you in peace, Lord. Help us. We are waiting for you. That's just about the way the attitude is. That's the way those disciples discussing what they had seen, and then all of a sudden, trouble arose. Church troubles, national troubles, domestic troubles, global ecological crisis, global financial crisis. Trouble with troubles! But that's what the church told us for.
Amen.
To take care of every trouble. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Oh,
it's time for Jesus to be awakened.
Amen.
Amen. Time to wake up the sleeping Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I
Amen.
Trust that the vision strike your heart tonight,
Amen.
That you will want to wake him up. Amen.
Amen.
The same Jesus. Only one Jesus has.
Amen.
From Genesis to Revelation is one Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And it is here tonight. It is in your life. It is in your own midst. Then we're going to wake him up tonight. Amen.
Amen.
He's as great as he ever was.
Amen.
Then all troubles arose. All of a sudden the ship began to rock. And I can imagine how the little fellowship here rocked when it comes to them stormy waters.
Amen.
The sails blew off, the oars broke, the water filled the boat. Trouble at hand! See, it happened suddenly. All hope of survival was gone. One minute they're talking nice about the prophet and the word of the prophet and the experience of seeing the prophet and, you know, being the believers come out to the denomination. Oh, and there's heavenly places. And suddenly trouble came. And then all hope of survival is gone. Everything turned upside down.
Amen.
Amen. And though they had seen him do so many great things, when trouble strikes, they forget all about it.
Yes.
Amen. My. So let's break in upon it and preach a little bit. Let's try to lean that here so you can understand what I'm putting in the message. In Mark 3, here it is, a great healing revival. Then Mark 4 shows the teaching that followed the healing revival, the mysteries being revealed. But then we see Jesus taking a rest. No more great meetings for the public view. Little churches here, one here in Singapore, one thing down here, one over here. A lot of people are just little believers now who have seen Elijah, who have seen the Son of Man living. Feasting now on those things. In the little fellowships.
Amen.
Amen. Sailing like Solomon. Amen. And they know there's another revival coming. And we're looking forward to that another revival.
Amen.
Amen. We know it's going to be great works, just like it did in the first one.
Amen.
And after the opening of the word, the revealing of truth, because the same spirit that performed miracles was now revealing truth.
Yeah.
But it was the hour that the elected had to be called. Because what he was doing, after he dismissed the people, opened the seven seals and sent them back.
Yeah.
Amen. And then here he was now, he tells the disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Where was he going? On the other side, here was Legion. A son of God, one of the attributes to be that was expressed in flesh and age in an insane mind. The minor Christ was here, but here was one of his children in an insane mind. And Brother Brown says, Laodicea is the insane age. Because Revelation 3:15-17 says, they are blind, wretched, naked, miserable, and don't know it. He says, then how if a man is blind and naked and don't know it, he has to be in an insane condition. Right there is the prophecy of the insanity of this age. The whole world is going into insanity. He said we are about 1 degree from it right now. Amen. Next thing they're going to see all these great hideous sights. Amen. They're going to plague them and torment them. But while the world is growing into insanity, here's the bride growing into the mind of Christ. Her thinking is being filtered. The mind of Christ is being put into the heart of the bride. She knows the program of God. She knows what he wants done with the world. Amen. Hallelujah, those seven candles, those seven mysteries, that head of Christ, the head has come to the body. There's an invisible union, a united time and sign, the bride united with the world. Hallelujah, the bride and the world uniting together. Great uniting time, while nations uniting, denominations uniting, the head and the body is becoming one for the resurrection. And we took it last night. We saw how when Jesus came, St. John 11, he began to gather the living ones. He began to bring them in the same atmosphere he was in. Because they were going away for a resurrection. Here we see him after the healing revival, then opening the truth, then resting. Amen. Then going to deliver his elected seed. And then where he was going afterwards, to a resurrection. To raise Jairus' daughter. Is that right? Sure. So what we're trying to catch is what is happening between the revealing of the mysteries and the resurrection. What he's doing. Amen. Amen. So we can see the power of God in this hour. We can understand what is happening and move with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Here he was, the Holy Spirit now had one objective. The seals have been opened. The mysteries revealed. The healing Bible has failed out. But now he's looking for the elected seed. And there is one of them. He's going to cross land and sea together. Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah. Showing before the resurrection comes, when he raised Jairus' daughter, the sleeping saint, he said, she's dead, she's sleeping. He said, Christian don't die. Yeah. Amen! She's sleeping. And the voice of the resurrection was going to wake her. Yeah. Amen. But before he raised up the sleeping saints, amen, look what happened. He made a complete cycle. Yeah. Amen. And Brother Brown said, I can't go no further. I'm going to go back in evangelism until that time comes. Then, when that catches up with this, then what's the third point? So we would have to come right back here to this place where he said we couldn't go no further to go into the further path. Amen. 1963, he had come to the opening of the world. He had come to the spoken world. And then the last part was the preaching to the lost. Amen. But before the break, the preaching to the lost, he said, Noah preached to the lost after the doors was closed. Yes. Then it was impossible to see. Nobody was coming, nobody was gone. Amen. Amen. And he had to get the elect and call the elect out of denomination and bring them into the only provided place of worship. Amen. Bring them out of blasphemous names into the place where he placed his name. Amen. 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 Then when that time comes, when the last one comes in, then what's the third point? It will go to the lost.
Amen.
So, yeah, all these years, what has he been doing? Crossing land and sea. Amen. Amen. Crossing land and sea, looking for the elected one in this insane age.
Amen.
Amen. The mind of Christ coming for those in the insane mind, in the insane age. He's coming to get them, looking for every one of them. He has the power to break the chains, break the fetters. Amen. Take the evil spirit out. And Legion was in a cemetery. Seminary, didn't he? Amen. He was in a seminary among a bunch of dead people. Amen. All the rest was dead and he was demon possessed. What a condition. Amen. But the world was coming for him anyhow. Hallelujah. Because you stay among a bunch of dead, you sure get demon possessed. Amen. Mine. When the word the Son of Man himself is going to come and get you.
Amen.
Who the Son of Man has set free, free indeed. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory. All of Christ rejected, couldn't do nothing for him. Notice the time Jesus delivered the man.
They run him out of the town. They say, leave these shots gone. They try all kind of exorcism, and they couldn't deliver the man. Try all kind of bush bat and all kind of witchcraft and everything else, and they couldn't deliver the man. Give him religion and everything else, and then he ended up in a seminary. Amen. And then inside of there, he still couldn't get delivered, but the Lord is coming to him anyhow. Oh, my. He is going to get him before the resurrection. Great Holy Spirit. Amen. Hunting out the elected in that insane age, before the resurrection. And it was in the evening time evangelism. It was while he was in that evening time evangelism, before the resurrection, that the crisis began to come. The storms begin to move. The winds begin to go contrary. The conditions in the environment begin to change. Amen. Amen. Between the revealing of the mystery truths and the resurrection of the sleeping saints, watch the revealed word making a cycle. He had opened up the seals already. He had revealed the mysteries after the Hebrew revival. The resurrection was yet to come. Amen. But between that time, what is he doing? He's making a cycle. He crossed, he went over to the other side, and come back to this side. And when he had completed the cycle, it was time for the resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, my. What is going to happen after you get the last one, elected one?
Amen.
It's time for the resurrection.
Amen.
After you gathered the living saints last night, as we saw, what happened afterward was the resurrection.
Amen.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen. Here, legion, among all them dead people in a deranged condition, bound in chains. Bound in chains and fetters. Amen. You can imagine when a man gets in that condition. See? Not a prisoner of the world, but a prisoner of other people. Amen. They put chains on him. They put fetters on him. And then, here he was out there cutting up himself, afflicting himself. You know, some people, you know, they do more hurt to their own self, and they realize that they're doing. Amen. But what's happening? God, the Son of Man is going to make him a true witness. See? He wanted to go and start to follow Jesus everywhere he goes because he was so touched.
Right.
He was so awed by the power of the word that was set him free like that.
Amen.
He wanted to be a follower and just follow where he's going. But each one of us have our place.
Yeah, right.
Each one of us have our work.
Yeah, right.
He said, I don't want you to follow me around everywhere I go. You go back in your country. Amen. You're a witness in your country. Amen.
Yeah.
Go and tell them in your country the things the Lord has done for you.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Let them see you that you're a brand new man. Old things are passed away on and become new.
Amen.
Amen. Your life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes.
Amen.
Since the Lord came and saved. Amen.
Amen.
So here he was, the anointed word coming for him. Amen. He's going to take him over to that cemetery, bring him over to all the dead people. And he's going to make him a true witness with a true testimony. And then send him back to fulfill the work that is designated for him in this hour. And let me tell you, he has a place for every one of us in his kingdom.
Amen.
And every one of us have a specific place, and no man could take your place.
Amen.
But Abraham said, you couldn't take all of us place, as great as he was. You couldn't take Billy Graham place, as great as he was. Neither could he take your place.
Amen.
Amen. You have your place cut out in the kingdom of God. And regardless of what your condition was before the word came and got you and delivered you and brought you to your position, that was your position anyhow.
Amen.
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 And the first thing when the Son of Man comes to this hour, and we deliver the seed, what he does, he reveals to them, after he delivers them, what their ministry is, what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah,
you don't send them back just to idle, you send them back, go back and testify, go back as a witness, amen.
Amen.
Go back and let them see the hour that we're living in, and what is happening.
Amen.
And the resurrection of the sleeping saints, watch it, how it followed that hour. And we believe that we're coming to the time now where the quiet time is about finished. And we're going to see Jesus, who, now remember, the same Jesus who was sleeping in the boat was delivering legion.
Was
the same Jesus who was sleeping in the boat was raising Jairus' daughter. Was the same Jesus who was sleeping in the boat had performed the great deal of revival and revealed all the mysteries, all the parables. Amen. So he was resting between two revivals.
Amen.
It's the same Jesus that's quiet here tonight.
Amen.
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 That perform all the miracles of 1946, 1956, the greatest new revival the world has ever seen.
Right.
It was the same Jesus who opened the seven seals and restored back the original world.
Yeah.
It's the same Jesus who is going to start the rapturing faith to the good of the church.
Yeah.
It's the same Jesus among the bride that's going to bring up the sleeping saints.
Yeah.
Same Jesus that's quiet tonight.
Yeah.
Amen. But the thing we want to know that he's right here in the boat with us. Amen.
But many people get so confused. You know, in the quiet time, they didn't know there was to be a quiet time. And that's why Brother Branham brought up this message, calling Jesus on the scene, that there was to be a quiet time, that the bride will not be confused. And he went to the scriptures, and because he was the seer, and the light had come and shined the world. And when the light shined the world, he said, what do you use to see the light if there is no eyes? At the evening time it shall be light.
Amen.
And light is promised to come in the evening time. He said, so what we have had through the ages, Luther was the thighs, Wesley was the chest, Pentecost was the lips. But the eyes have come in the evening time. And you see with your eyes. You don't see with your lips, you don't see with your thighs. You see with your eyes. So then God sent the light when the eyes was here. And the light came to shine on the world because the book was sealed up. And the mystery was hidden in the world. And when the light shined in the world, so what do you turn on a light for? To reveal something? If you think of all the light, it will be dark inside of here. We'll be fumbling around the dark. But if you turn on the light, there's a man that can turn on the light.
Amen.
And the light was turned on. And the prophet, the seer, looked in the world and saw the light shining on the program of God. Then he began to bring up message after message, revealing to us the hour that we are living in and what is the program of God for this day.
Amen.
Then we can get in step with God. Now we have a revelation. Now we can walk conscious. Now we can be in step with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now we know what is right and what is wrong. Now our senses are exercised to discern good from evil.
Amen.
Now we can know the real believer and the make believer. Amen.
Amen.
See? So Malachi followed the eyes and he looked in the scriptures. Amen. And he began to bring our understanding. Little bride, don't be worried. It's a quiet time. Big revival. And then he noticed that revival come to an end, the healing revival, and the word had come forth. And there's going to be another revival. There's going to be a one more ride. And you know, many places he speaks about it in Indictment, page 62. After he had preached that great message, he began to crowd in his prayer. He said, oh God, consecrate me, Lord. Let it be my consecration. That's why I bring him two messages here. The first is for consecration. Because they're coming and minister to the soul of the Lord. He said, Lord, consecrate me, he says, and may there come forth a revival of the just.
Amen.
The justified ones.
Yeah,
he's not be a revival of the world and flesh and things no more like back there. It's only the one with seed to be quickened.
Yeah,
in none seed, there is nothing to quicken.
Yeah,
amen. Is they going to be revived back what the early church had? Amen. He said, may there come forth a revival of the just. And may there come a power into the church just before it's going. Like the power come back upon Samson once more long.
Amen.
Amen. Just before the end time, you see?
Amen.
And may there come a power into the church just before it's going. You see, and that third pull, Lord, that will do great things for us in our midst.
Amen.
Hattie Wright was in our midst. Sister Branham was in our midst. Not for the world out here, for us in our midst.
Amen.
To start the rapture in faith. He says, and may I hold that king's sword tightly, grip it closely. Amen. And that's what we are praying because, and then he says, oh God, it's not too hard to pray for that because you promise it. It's not too hard to pray for it because you promise it.
Amen.
Amen. And how much more we know he has promised it 25 years after. We know he has promised it is going to happen. He keeps all his promises.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what we are looking for. And it's going to take the same Jesus to wake up, and we'll have to wake him up. Amen. So the revival was not going, well, it wasn't going on, but that didn't mean he was gone. See? That didn't mean he was gone. He was right in the midst. He didn't go nowhere. He was right in the midst, asleep. And he said, ready to be called anytime, not too hard to arouse, but ready to come to our rescue. Amen. You're only taking a rest until the crisis overcomes. And what's something? All of a sudden, it's going along, but the conditions begin to change. But they were so caught up in the testimony services that they wasn't noticing the conditions around them was taking a turn. See? They didn't realize it, that the scene around them was changing because they were caught up in what they were doing.
Yeah.
They wasn't looking. You know, they're praising God for what he did. He sent a prophet. He revealed the word. And there's a revival coming.
Yeah.
Praising for what he's going to do. And they get caught up in all those things. Then here things begin to happen, Wall Street crashed. Amen. Then the stock market went down. Then inflation, recession begin to move. Then the environment being destroyed.
Yes, yes.
Amen. An ecological crisis. I've fallen a global financial crisis.
Amen.
Amen. Then the World Council tightened up. All them churches gathering together, coming to close the bride down.
Amen.
Amen. The scene around them was changing. And here it was, It came upon him suddenly. And it came upon him so sudden that the conditions just worsened and worsened until they found themselves in a struggle for survival. Skillful men! Watch it! They were all fishermen. They were acquainted with that type of environment in the sea. There were skilled men in that field. There were men experienced in that kind of environment. Amen. He said they had gone back to the work. They had gone back to the daily routine. They were rowing the boat. They were going along, so to speak. Amen. But what's something? Though there were skilled men, experts in that field, with years of experience in that line of work, yet they found that they couldn't function no more in that environment. An environment they're working all their life. When the economy began to fall, man who held good businesses, man who had good jobs, now threatened a recession. See? Now threatening employment in these things. Find themselves now in a condition that, you know, devaluation. When they look at the bank account and they find looking high, it can ride on to nothing. Yeah. Let me tell you, it's going to get worse than that. Yeah. It's not going to get no better. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You know, I flying coming here, I was watching something. Brother Abraham says, he says, when the California sinks, he said that crack goes right up 1,500 miles long, 200 miles wide, 300 miles wide rather, go all the way up into Alaska, 200 miles out in the Aleutian Islands, into the Pacific Ocean. He said, I'm going to go 40 miles deep in that fault that's laying there. Right. Then you tell me what will happen to this place here. Tell me what will happen to this little island here. It will be no more like that. Right. See? Oh, today looks like a great place. People from all over the world. Look at all the ships in the harbor. Look at all the big high-rise buildings. Look at all the great activity taking place. It's bustling with excitement all around about. Everything is looking like a great fancy air. It will disappear like that. Amen. It don't mean nothing to God except for the few elect that are on this island.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sure.
Amen.
See? Amen. See, they all tried without success. With all the knowledge and with all the experience and all the skill, as determined as they were, they couldn't change the situation. They couldn't do it. They tried to maneuver and they found the oars begin to break. The very tools of the trade became ineffective. In other words, things that could have helped them to survive in that kind of environment, in that kind of storm, they were realizing it wasn't easy. As it was becoming, the storm was becoming greater and greater and greater until they found themselves in conditions that they never found themselves in before.
Amen.
Amen. In a little while, disaster was tearing them in the face. They had nowhere to turn. They were going to lose their transportation. They were going to lose their livelihood. They were going to lose their business. But that boat was a business.
Yes.
What to make a living by. That boat was a transportation. Is that right? Everything is going to lose. Some people in danger, they come and get repossessed. They may lose their home, they may lose their job. And he says, in the hour of temptation, what's going to happen? Many people are going to find themselves tempted to go to the system because they can't let go of the money.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
They can't let go of the worldly possessions. They come so tight, they come so bound to it.
Amen.
Don't be looking to let it go in that hour. When they begin to see they're being threatened of it being taken away from them.
Yeah.
If their heart is not, their affection is not some of the things above,
amen.
If that affection is not washed in water, if that head have no blemish and is not laid on the altar,
yeah.
Amen, when they consumed to ashes and they still have a lot of their own thinking here, they're going to get mind battles against the word of God.
Yeah.
They're going to think, well, maybe I'm going to change. Maybe I can be a smart one. Maybe I'm going to be able to come out of it. You watch and see, in that hour, the bride will have faith to look beyond those things.
Amen.
Amen. She will know there's a power in the bride that will create things into existence.
Amen.
Look at it. Those believers, the word that they were following, they saw that word multiply bread and fish. Cook bread and cook fish and feed 5,000. What he was doing, he was showing them the power that lay in the word that was revealed to them by the prophet.
Amen.
And that the message that they were gathered around, it could take care of them in any situation
Amen.
That confronted them.
Amen.
Elijah ate one cake and went to the strength for 40 days. Brother Brown said, what can an atom turn loose there? It's time to unify it. We are growing acres and acres and acres of food. If a man gets one, he can go in the strength for 40 days. Amen. You think about it. Amen. Look, he created scrolls for the prophet. Why did he create scrolls? To show him when that hour comes, don't worry where your food coming from.
Amen.
Amen. See? He showed Peter them, cast your net on the right side, and you'll get the fish. After the fish all night, experienced fishermen and couldn't catch anything. Showing them is I am the provider.
Amen.
You have a job and you're given, I am the one who will be the provider. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Don't learn to depend on your company thinking that where your bread coming from. Look beyond your company and see me. Amen.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. You're going to have a sickness strike you tomorrow and you can't go to work, your job is finished and you're gone.
Amen.
Amen. Then when you rely on your company, you rely on God. Amen.
Amen.
See, he multiplied the widow's meal and the oil to show you if your bread basket gets low, don't even be bothered about it. Don't be intimidated. Don't be pressured.
Right.
Amen. The Elijah, amen, the message that you will keep alive will take care of you and ours.
Amen.
Amen. See, you're showing them how you provide a ram for Abraham out of nothing, speaking into existence.
Amen.
You show them where you're going to come from.
Amen. Amen.
And the same God with the same kind of people, with the same kind of faith, reveal the same things in this hour to let us know that the time is here. Amen. When these things are coming from negative to positive. And there are people who have been trained and made ready for this hour.
Amen.
Amen. And here there was, they begin to find themselves in troubles. He said national troubles, religious troubles, troubles in the church, troubles in the home, troubles in the job, troubles in the nation.
Yeah.
They begin to come all around them, the storm, all the winds of communism, see, begin to come together. All kind of strange things begin to act up. Amen.
Yeah.
They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to turn. Amen. And yet when they found themselves in that situation, they were so scared, they began to panic. Amen. And here he says, all in that hour, something happened. He lay down there and watched the storm come. He lay down there and watched the boat begin to get full of water.
Right.
You can imagine the boat begin to fill up with water. They begin to argue among themselves. You get the bucket, bring this here, you this over here. Next thing, the sails blow away. You gotta blame this one. Did you cause the sails? I was helping you with the bucket. You gotta fight among yourselves. Problems. Pressure in the ship.
Amen.
And the ship sinking almost. And like, where's Jesus? And Jesus knew him, and he's watching him and letting him go through it. He's watching tempers flaring. He's watching this one conspiring against this one conspiring against this one, and you know, the everything will fall apart. All the testimony services, they come to a rude awakening. Because now the testimony services in the past. And it couldn't give them no strength and inspiration to face the present condition.
Amen.
They needed no faith to wake up Jesus' present tense.
Amen.
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 See, when they find themselves in that condition, it became so difficult to operate, but you see, he was bringing them into a condition where they could only depend upon the word.
Amen.
Because he wants preeminence.
Amen.
He let the storm break the power of self-will.
Amen.
When all of them trusted in the great ability, you know, all the education and all the profession, all these things, when they trusted in them, and that made them powerful, that made them important. He let the conditions come to weaken them and strip them of their human ability.
Amen.
The children is not by my power, my spirit to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen!
Hallelujah! It is me and my word to rock you on this place.
Amen.
Amen. But he remained there and he watched them. Begin to break. Man, who thought he was the best man on the earth? I can imagine Peter say, move aside. Yeah. You're a novice. Give me the oars. Take a skilled man to handle this operation. Back the oar break. Like, it's not by human ability, no sir.
Yeah.
Amen.
Maybe Philip says, I'm the best bucket man. I'm going to organize a bucket brigade. We're going to get all this water out of the ship right now. Amen. You listen to me. You bring two buckets here. You do this over here. It's a management. You turn this over here. My. We have all the managerial skills. Try to organize the people. We're going to do this. I'm going to do this this way. Do this this way. That can't even work neither.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
And there's one in, where's the Lord? And maybe one of them get brave. Maybe Thomas, doubting Thomas, trying to pull on a good act. He said, I just speak this storm out of existence. Storm, go back where you come from. That didn't even work neither. Amen. See a bunch of people here, panic stricken now. Yeah. When disaster faced them now, they didn't know what to do. Amen. And all the time, he's watching them out in the corner of his eye. He's laying down there quiet, the same word quiet. Watch him over the corner of his eyes. Amen. See? And something begins to move. A wave of inspiration begins to move. Something like a fresh breeze just blow into the boat. Maybe like these past services, maybe something could dawn upon you. Maybe a wave of inspiration could dawn upon you. And something begins to dawn upon them. We're trying all this and trying and trying and trying, and Jesus is here. As great as he ever was.
Amen.
If we could wake him up, the situation is under control.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. He's all of a sudden dawn upon them.
Yes.
One of them in the boat, one person in the boat, being a catch a vision. And the vision began to break, and he actually saw Jesus standing there. In full control, in the creator of the winds. The creator of the winds.
Yeah.
The one who could change the scene by his spoken word.
Yeah.
Amen. If we could catch that vision tonight,
that we could
break into that world.
Amen.
To see that this word that Elijah revealed, the Son of Man, this word, this seven-seal message we are following. Has already shown us the power to create, to raise the dead, to provide what we have need of, to heal our sick, whatever it is. And he's with us right now in the boat. And that vision of the vision strike them, they saw the headstone, the word that the prophet had revealed, standing there in speaking conditions. No doubt Peter, one of whoever caught the vision, began to speak to the rest. It was no more the sleeping Jesus beaten revival. It was the awakened Jesus in the hour of crisis.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? No more the sleeping Jesus beaten revival.
Amen.
It was the awakened Jesus in the hour of crisis.
Amen.
And the crisis is breaking forth. Mary catch the vision that is not going to come by mind. It's not going to come by power. It's not going to come by man's ideas. It's going to come by the revealed word. The word of the prophet.
Amen.
Because the hour of crisis, it was the ending to the quietening time. Amen. Because the believers have come to a quietening time, but when the crisis began to come in, it was really the ending of the quietening time. And it was the beginning of the hour of realization for them. To wake up Jesus.
Yes.
A season actually come to them who had come to a quiet time, who had come to a lot of troubles, that the hour is coming to wake up the world.
Amen.
They don't say that. Let's wake up Jesus.
Amen.
Let's wake up Revelation 10:1.
Amen.
That Revelation 10:7 reveals.
Amen.
Let's wake up Jesus that Elijah revealed.
Amen.
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 Who is he? The anointed one.
Amen.
He's the entire world.
Amen.
Came to the prophet.
Amen.
Let's read him up. That's what we've been following.
Amen.
That's what we've been testifying about.
Amen.
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 He's the only solution in this hour of crisis.
Amen.
Amen. I'm getting ready to close. In the midst of that perilous time, a vision begins to break. God in suffering grace loose. A vision amongst them. A wave of inspiration that will strike their hearts
to let them realize it's not going to come by your human ability or your ideas or man's ideas or this one suggestions or this. It's going to come by the word. Waking up that word. And under the influence of that wave of inspiration, the faith begin to get anointed. They begin to get the expectations lifted. Something in their heart tell them, if we wake him up, our troubles are in.
Amen.
And it begins to lift them out of the humanistic realm and put them in a realm of revelation. And from the time they come into the realm of revelation, something supernatural is going to happen. But as long as they stay on in that humanistic realm, only seeing circumstances, and ain't seeing the word the prophet revealed.
Amen.
But that way by inspiration, it was taking the eyes off the circumstances and looking at the one who can handle the circumstances.
Amen.
The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ begins to move in upon them. And the eyes of the understanding begin to be enlightened, and they move from trusting in their own ability to depending upon his ability.
Amen.
And that hour, everyone's eyes, I could see all 12 of them in the boat. They all now was in one mind, and they were looking at one person, the way.
Amen.
They were all centered and focused.
Amen.
Upon the word, the anointed word, that was in the midst. They was actually locked in a channel of inspiration, and that anointing in their heart, that vision of Paul sitting in there, was telling them, if we wake him up, he can handle my situation.
Amen.
But Abraham says, if he created the wind, what do they create after obeying?
Right.
And if he create the winds and the waves, the water and obey him, then didn't he create your bodies too?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You'll have to obey him also.
Amen.
Your body can't be subjected to the word. You can bring in subjection.
Amen.
Amen. Your body dead and is in the grave. He can speak and have to obey him and come back onto the grave.
Amen.
Amen. So here there was now. The boat full of water, the sails blown away and all these things. And they try everything that they know. Maybe even got a little survival kit. All who try their first aid, all who try with a little in school, it all went away. There was one thing, how come he could have laid there so quiet? Why didn't he come to the assistance? Why didn't he come pick up, Master, cares thou not that we perish? He was waiting for them to come to that realization. He let the circumstances prevail until every human ability was completely broken. Because his strength is made perfect in weakness.
Amen.
When you are weak, then he's strong. As long as you can do it, then he can come in to do it for you. Amen. He wanted them to awaken. See? He wanted them to call him on the scene. In that hour of crisis, and when they went to wake him, they found out he was quick to respond and he was able to master every circumstance.
Amen.
Then here it was, the picture was different. It was no longer Jesus sleeping. It was the living word standing. Walk right up to the rails of the boat, put his foot on the rails of the boat, look at him and say, peace be still.
Amen.
What it was? The spoken word.
Amen.
The third Paul.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The master of circumstances.
Amen.
In the hour of crisis.
Amen.
Those disciples could wake up the word to bring the spoken word into operation.
Amen.
That which was vindicated and identified its presence amongst us.
Amen.
And promised to take care of us.
Amen.
Every situation that confronts us in the journey. If you can wake that word up, watch that spoken word go into action.
Amen.
Amen. They thought they didn't care. But all those things was only he permitting it. His permissive will. What are you tonight? Maybe a lot of things he permits right in the church. Maybe a lot of things he permits in your life. Maybe a lot of things he permits in your job. Maybe he's still permitting somebody too.
Amen.
You know what it was? Wake you up so you can wake him up.
Amen.
Amen. And look, from 1946 to 1988, we have come through all these different experiences. The healing revival, like in Mark 3, the teaching, the really mystery, like in Mark 4, the quietening time, the resting time in revivals. We're coming to the revival as promised. The hour of Christ is already breaking forth upon us. The realization that dawns upon the elect. Then the waking up of Jesus, the Word. Then the awakening Jesus in the midst now, no longer quiet and sleeping, but speaking now.
Amen.
See the spoken word be in operation. Then the deliverance of the elect in the evening time evangelism, like Legion, and all that belonged to him had to come in and receive the deliverance.
Amen.
And then what happened? What followed? The resurrection.
Amen.
It's all right here in this little drama, this little story, showing every phase of our experience. So we are coming through. And God took a prophet that can look in the world here and see those things and bring it out, that we will not be confused. We will not be left without understanding. But we will know the program of God. We recognize what He's doing this hour, that we'll be able to come and humbly yield and submit ourselves to Him.
Amen.
Can you see it tonight?
Amen.
Amen. What a time it is.
Amen.
And as we close with this last remark, in the message testimony, Brother Bam was giving testimony. He said about when he was in the woods that day, and God was going to manifest the spoken word to speak his tongue out of existence, training him. God is training the prophet, using his life as an example for us, opening up the way that we can know how to act and how to relate to these things when the hour comes. He said, "I heard it." He said, "Go back where you come from." He had tell the brothers, he had warned them. He said, "Now, as soon as that time comes, I want you all," he said, "when that storm starts, I want you all to run back to camp." He said, "Because we're expecting a blizzard, and that blizzard," he says, "in a couple of moments, that snow is blowing so hard, the wind, the music camp, wind's blowing so hard, and all these things." He says, "You know what happens? In a couple of minutes, you can't see where you're going. You don't know what's happening, you're lost. And you can die outside there in the cold." He says, "For you men," he said, "you listen to me. He said, "I'm going to wait out there. I'll fire a couple of shots to warn you if anybody else around, and you run right in." Because if you get lost outside in that blizzard, next thing you know, wild animals, them bear or lion, trying to move around to find a place to shelter themselves, they could find you outside there and destroy you. And he was in the woods that day, up in the mountains. And he says, the blizzard had started, and the brothers were all running back to the camp. And he stood there. He said, "I heard it again." He said, "Go back where you come from." He said, "I started the mountain. I thought I was getting really scared to go back to where I was at, because the winds were so terrific. Sometimes God makes us do things that seem dangerous and out of line. How about Moses with that stick going on the stick over Egypt? How about Moses? Could you imagine that God telling a man, go and deliver the people with a stick?" He is doing it in a way that you have to trust and depend upon him completely.
Amen.
It will always disagree with your thinking.
Right.
Your mind will always be jolted and want to go haywire, trying to find out how it's going to happen, what if God is going to be there. Or, but in your heart, you know, if he says something, he'll keep his promise.
Amen.
He's true to his word.
Amen.
He just tries you and tests you. He says, and everything we find like that, God acts the impossible, see? So that he does the impossible, that man will know that it isn't him, it's God doing it. Then say, he went back up in the mountain, finding my way, blowing through the blowing, twisting trees. He says, I took my gun to keep the scope up like that. You know, so we get fogged over. He said, because bear run that kind of time, so I put my scope under my shirt like this, sit down a moment. I thought, what am I doing sitting here? But God works in mysterious ways. Wanted to perform. They are past finding out the carnal mind. They never catch a glimpse of it. So I walked back up and sat down, sitting there thinking on God. See that? In the midst of trouble, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of all kind of wild beer and lion running around there and these things. He said, what am I doing here like this? He said, but all of a sudden, I began thinking on God. So when you begin to think about Him, when you speak about Him, His presence come close. I began thinking about God. Wonder why I come back. I thought, my time I get to the bottom of the hill, that storm getting more terrific all the time. Closing in. You
couldn't see very far ahead of you. And you don't have to believe this, but this is true. It's what he's saying here. A voice spoke to me and said, I am the Lord God. I have created the heavens and the earth. Nature obeys me. Same Jesus, who was in that ship with the disciples when he spoke the winds and the wave in a storm. But now this prophet in the woods in another storm. Here we are in another storm again. Amen. Then I sit there and I jump off my hat. That voice somewhere, I couldn't see it. Only thing I could hear it. It was around behind the tree somewhere. I thought, usually you see that light, that's all of it you know about. Usually it's there, but I look everywhere, I couldn't see the light. I said, where are you, O God, my creator? I look around, I couldn't hear it no more, hear his voice. I waited a few minutes. He said, I am the Lord God. But how did you speak those squirrels into existence? And all of you know about that. And so help me with this battle before me on this Thanksgiving Day. If that isn't true, God may strike me dead on the platform now, see? It's true. He's still just as much as creator. A God that can provide a ram for Abraham can provide. He's still Jehovah Jireh. You believe that tonight?
Amen.
Where did Abraham get that ram? Look, a 3-day journey from civilization up on the top of the mountain where no water or nothing. He had need of a ram, and there was a ram hooked in the wilderness by its horns. And Abraham had went around, pick up a ram all around there to make his altar. But God still remained Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide himself. Whatever he has promised, that he's able to do. That's that word in Matthew, I think, Mark 11:22. If you sit on this mountain. I could never understand that. You know the story about that. So help me, that's true. He said, I'm the one that provided him scrolls. Then on that very hour, it spoke again. On that very same time, sitting up there, he said, I am the one that stood on the ship that night and made the winds and the waves to cease. God in another storm, knowing that he, think of it, God know him himself was the one in Jesus who had stopped the storm. And 2,000 years had passed. He was there in the woods. The body he was in, Jesus, that was tired and sleepy, is in the mercy seat.
Amen.
But the God in that body was there in the woods of the prophet.
Hallelujah.
And he's telling him, I was the one. That ship that night. That sea, that storm. That stopped the waves and the winds. He said, rise up on your feet and rebuke the storm and will obey. Exactly what you said. That's been the third stage of the ministry coming, that third point. It's been moving up for years. And look like there's something that keeps worried, I think. Oh, that's exactly what he done. This is him again. It's just exactly his spirit again, just exactly. Standing there, at that time I raised my hand and said, Lord God, great creator of nature, I believe that that's you speaking. Believe in him speaking tonight?
Amen.
Not one time have you ever showed me anything that was wrong. And not one time you have let me say anything but what comes to pass. I said, therefore, I said to the storm that's raging. Can't you stand up and speak to the storm that's raging in your home? Raging in your life? Can't you wake up the same Jesus in your life, in your home, in the church? He's the same one. On the ship, propped in the woods, here tonight. Go to your places! Go back! Leave us this alone! Like a man that the sun will shine for the next 4 days till these men can get their trophies. And I can help them get them and get out of these mountains. And the Lord God, who is my son, judge, that rain and things ceased within a moment's time. There wasn't a bit of it. I looked and there's a wind come from the other way, across the top of the mountain, lifted up those clouds like that. Within just a matter of a few minutes, the sun was broke through, right up to the top and shining down perfectly as it could be. 8:23 says here, give me the testimony of his wife, how he stands and speaking tomorrow to existence also. And just that same voice that spoke up there on the hill that night. Same one who always come. I said, Lord God, was that you speaking to your servant? He said, just say the word, and there will be no more tumor. I stood there a little bit to get myself right. Many of you know in here, and the people in the tabernacle knows what was that she had it. I said, then I say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that tumor will leave her. He's burning her so bad. She's been in bed for 3 or 4 days. He created the body too, and the body had to obey.
Amen.
I said, they'll never even find a trace of it. For the Lord, my God, who is creator, who can stop winds and storms and can rebuke seas and bring forth that, he is the creator of heavens and earth. And I love him and believe him. You love him and believe him tonight?
Amen.
And I believe that this is the time is now nearing when these things are to be.
Amen.
Oh, can't you see? It's kind of quiet. When the crisis came, it was time to wake up again.
Amen. Then you who could create a scroll and put it into existence can take an enemy out of existence. I said, when the devil wrapped himself in the storm, the wind is God's creation, the water is God's creation. But the devil got into it, and that's what put the spasm in the sea like that. I said, you can calm it. And you that can calm that can take a tumor away from my wife. And I said, that is done right now. Never shall be found anymore. It's finished. I went out there with a shot.
Amen.
Let us all stand to feet.
He never failed me yet, you know?
He never failed. Never fear
dawning upon them. Should at the end of the quiet time has come, the time to wake Jesus up. For the hour of deliverance, for his elect in the ancient age, then to bring us to the resurrection.
Amen.
And we can follow the divine leadership of the Holy Spirit in the world. You know that, why is he doing it this way? Why is God making these things play in every servant come? It's so real, the written present tense now. What he is doing, what now? We can see. You know what he's doing? I'll tell you what he's doing that for. Take your fears and the doubts out of you. Put an assurance of faith in your heart. Make you recognize your position. Lift you up into a realm of faith. Where you can do exactly by the word of God, not by someone's idea or someone's suggestion, but by the revealed word and the Bible. Where we are positioned.
Amen.
So we have the right kind of expectations.
Amen.
And we can know how to relate to him in the present tense.
Amen.
In this hour.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we appreciate you tonight, Lord.
and it's sealed deep on our heart, Lord, your special love for this little group here.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lord, your word just go out in such a way and open up and become so plain to minister an entrance abundantly unto them. They can see the revealed plan of God in this hour. The divine program unfolding. Light for them to walk in, dear God. They can walk in that light and have fellowship with you. Come into harmony with you. I pray, dear God, that your great Holy Spirit is speaking and revealing and unfolding these things. We so engrave it in their hearts, dear God. We so make it spirit alive within them. We so give us a clear understanding. They can take to their firm grip upon these things, Lord. Lord, can bring peace and assurance and comfort and encouragement to their hearts in this troubled time. Confidence to know, Lord, that you are great as you ever was. Confidence to know that you will begin the work of performing even until that day. Oh, Father, I pray tonight. And Lord, as their hearts have been challenged to wake you up. Wake you up in the lives. Wake you up in the church. May that vision be so inspired, Lord, that they can see the awakened Jesus in the hour of Christ, in speaking conditions, masked in all circumstances, the headstone, the seventh seal, the Son of Man, that the Elijah prophet revealed. The revealed word that we are following, Lord. The word is in our midst and have been quiet all these years. Oh, Father, what a vision that is, Lord. Let us get under the inspiration of it. Let it become operative in our hearts, Lord. God, I pray your grace and peace be each and every one. And there be one, Lord, tonight. Maybe some fix, some situation. Lord, where they can serve you as your ark like Legion was, bound in chains or bound in chains of circumstances. I pray that by your word you'd break it tonight, Father.
Hallelujah.
Whatever oppression, oh God. When we think of that hour, the revival is already finished, the world is already open up. The world was traveling, journeying to another revival. And yet you still have some that are bound in chains. Some, Lord, oppressed and possessed by evil spirits. Some, oh God, need deliverance that only you can bring. I pray, Lord, that the world will find them. The world will go to them, Lord. The world will bring that deliverance. They can take the rightful place in your economy in this hour and fulfill their purpose, and you have predestined them and ordained them unto this age. Lord God, you know when it's all over, we will walk with you unto the resurrection. Oh, what an expectation. As we see, it wasn't long, Father, from the hour of Christ to the resurrection. It wasn't long. Oh God, with a quick, short work. Lord, so we believe it happened again.
Amen.
I pray, dear God, it would come under the effects of it, govern our lives in such a way. Every decision, every step we make, everything we do, be governed by the revelation of the word.
Amen.
We have no desire to run for our own ability or do anything, Lord. Thy will be done.
Yes, Lord.
Your Holy Spirit, Lord, can lead and guide us in that perfect will. Grant it, Father. Lord, I just commit them into your hands now. May the divine presence and blessing go into everyone. Lord God, may you bring us back tomorrow. May you kind of speak to us. Help me, dear God, give me the thing that's laid upon my heart.
Yes, Lord.
Would you want me to speak to your people? This work that you are doing in them now at this time. I pray to be done according to that your divine will and your divine approval.
Yes, Lord.
Please, Father. That all we desire to do.
Amen.
Is to please thee. Grant it, Lord. We ask these mercies in the precious, lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hold your God's unchanging hand. Hold your God's unchanging hand. Fill your hopes and things eternal. Hold your God's unchanging hand. Let us sing that song. Bow to the sun like a man went out. Let us sing that little song. Time is filled with swift transition. Things are changing so fast, so rapidly. Not a hurt, the move can't stand. Number 15, these books are 116, the only belief. But build your hopes and things eternal. Hold your God's unchanging heart. Amen.
Let's see. be appreciative. We desire to praise you, worship you, brother. Your presence is here in the meeting tonight, Lord. Oh, let your word just beat up in our hearts and our souls, Lord. Oh, may we be filled with your spirit, Lord, in this hour. Give us our divine leadership, our divine direction, guidance. Grant to God, we will cast it to Jesus. God is the best of God, we will see you all in the Lord.